And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this June 29th, the last Thursday in June, almost over here, 2017. And a little almost rainy this afternoon, not quite rain, had a little sprinkling here, but it's cloudy and looks like it just might dump any minute. And that's good because we need the rain and the good Lord knows we do. And I'll praise Him for bringing maybe a little bit of rain for the pastures this evening here. And so we thank Him for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Remnant, for tuning in, for listening in. And I'm going to read a few scriptures tonight. Going to talk about, you know, July 4th is coming up. Thought we would talk about that. Don't get to have a broadcast on the 4th. But, hey, we're getting pretty close. Hopefully you're preparing. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about just the real meaning of Independence Day and the way some of our forefathers and founding fathers looked at breaking away from England and forming this nation. It is that nation that was formed in a day. We'll talk about that. But let's open up with prayer and we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this nation that you've given us, this land to live in, this country, Lord, this nation formed in a day in keeping with your prophecy and your word and your truth and your promises to our forefathers, Lord, your promises to those that have come before us that you would prepare a place, Lord, a place of unwalled villages, a place with an eastern sea and a western sea, and Lord, where you would take one from a city and two from a town and bring your people to Zion. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that your word is true and that, Lord, it your word proves and shows to those with eyes to see and ears to hear that will look at what is biblically correct, what has always been biblically corrected, not, maybe not politically correct. But, Lord, your truth is truth, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you did bring us to this land, and you have us here alive at this time, Lord, this time that is your time, Lord, that it is time for us to, Lord, here we are, use us to do what you would have us to do in this day, in this time, in this land, to further your kingdom. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your prophecy. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that because of his obedience, Lord, we have redemption. Thank you. Thank you, Father, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for that obedience, for the love that you showed and that you continue to show for us, your people. Help us to live by that example, Lord, and to live our lives where others may see that love of Christ, that your love, Lord, that they may see it within us. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Lord, I pray for your blessings on this broadcast tonight, that you would be with me here. Lord, give me the words to say, the thoughts to think, and Lord, that your people would be encouraged and edified, and that, Lord, it would put a smile on your face. Lord, that it would be pleasing to you. And I desire to have your thoughts and your words in my life and in the life of the remnant. And I pray this, Lord, to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, hope you've had a great day. It's still hot down in the Southwest, but here it is, summer 2017. Hopefully you are reading your Bible. As a Christian, we are to be fed by the Word of God. And to have the proper diet, we need to eat good. We need to, in the physical, we have to drink enough water, we have to eat enough of the right foods, and we have to be fed or feed ourselves every day, every day. My dad used to have a saying, and he would say, you know, we don't eat because we're hungry here in this land, and most of the time we don't. It's not because we're hungry that we eat to keep from getting hungry, and that's in the physical, and it is a blessing that we have so much food here in this land to eat. But we're talking a little bit more about the spiritual. But it applies. That from the physical applies to the spiritual. And in the spiritual, we have to have that daily bread. that the Bible is likened unto, that the Word of God is likened unto, for our spiritual nourishment. And we have to be able to consume the milk of the Word. We have to be able to read and to study and to get that milk of the Word in us. You know, in the evening, we've been blessed with raw milk. We go by a dairy, and it sure is what a blessing to maybe in the evening, especially in the summertime, when it's been a long, hot day, and you can go pour a glass of that cold, fresh, raw milk and just drink that down, and it just chills you down from your lips all the way down. It is good, that good, cold milk. Well, the good milk of the Word is the same way. It refreshes, it invigorates. Sometimes we like that steak as well, and that meat of the Word. We are to be nourished on that as we grow and mature in Christianity, as Christians, as we do read more and more and study more and more and pray more and grow in our Christian walk. Well, then we're not limited to just the milk of the Word, but we can get into the meat of the Word as well. And we can be nourished by that. But if you don't read the Word, you don't get nourished by the milk or the meat. And we are to be nourished. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread. That is that nourishment, that spiritual feeding that we need to have as Christians. We must have. It's as simple as that. It's not just a need, a want or a desire, or, well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe not. No, if you do, you will be malnourished spiritually. It's as simple as that. And you will not be nourished by the Word. So we encourage you, read your Bible. We're in Proverbs 7 today, and reading through the Proverbs this whole week, and the Psalms last week. It's a good blast from the Old Testament. It is. And when you read through it, hopefully you're seeing, we know we've read it before, but that living Word comes off the page. And because we've had different life experiences since the last time we read this Word. I know I have. And right there at the beginning of Proverbs 7, when I read this morning, it says in verse 2, "Keep my commandments and live." And that's Proverbs 7, 2. "Keep my commandments and live." Now, if you don't get anything else, get that. Keep my commandments and live. Of course, we know the flip side of that is don't keep my commandments and die. It really is. I think that sums up the Bible. That sums up God's plan. It sums up the gospel story, the plan of salvation. Keep my commandments and live. We have an instruction book, and if we will but follow it, we will live. We will find peace, we will find joy, we will have happiness, we will have the blessings of God. It is as simple as that. And when you read through Proverbs 7, it is a warning against our society today, against the adulterous woman with flattering lips, and that seduces. And we have a seduction going on in the land today. We do. "Do not stray into her paths," it says. "Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death." And it is. When we turn away from him, when we are naive, and we see that spelled out in plain, simple language right here in Proverbs 7. So it is a gaining of wisdom if you will read his word and apply his word to your life and to the life of your family and to the life of your spouse and your children. We encourage you to do that. We encourage you to do that. Well, looking at the calendar, Saturday is July 1st. And next Tuesday is July 4th. And it's a birthday. It's a birthday, Independence Day. That's what I thought we'd talk a little bit about tonight. And It is the birthday of America. Now, in 1 John, let's flip over there. 1 John 3, I think, is where I want to go. And I didn't write all these down before. I've got them down, but I didn't print them out. So we'll go through our Bibles tonight. It's good to do that. In 1 John 3, in 1 John 3, 16, we read, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And when we hear that scripture, we of course we know that it is Christ that laid down his life for us. But you know, for this country to be free, there were many others that laid down their life. And that was one of the reasons, that was one of the teachings that the people at the time of the revolution understood. They understood that. Anyway, this country was the nation that was formed in a day. It was formed as a Christian nation. It began not with the Pilgrims. It did not begin with the Mayflower Compact. We've shared that with you over the years, and in an attempt to remind you of the true history of our nation. But it starts so far back. I mean, of course, everything is back in the beginning, but it does. The planning and the foreshadowing of this nation being formed way back in 2 Samuel 7:10. Let's take a look. 2 Samuel 7:10, we'll flip back there. And it says, "I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may live in their own place, and not be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly." This was a wicked time back in the time of 2 Samuel. And we, of course, living on this side, we're able to go back and look and see this. That this is after the time of David. This is after the time that the promises that were made to Abraham that flowed all the way down to David, those promises had been kept. And those promises had been fulfilled. It says, "I will give you rest from all your enemies." And as this nation was founded, it was given rest. It was given rest for a while. The Bible tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And freedom came to this country after a long war. And it did. The real meaning of the 4th of July, it's a birthday. We said that earlier. And that's what it is. It's the birth of the United States of America. The people then, the colonists, they wanted to be free. They wanted to be able to make their own decisions, to govern themselves, to have liberty. Liberty. And when you look into the true, you look into the you know, America didn't just, it didn't just happen. Again, we go back to the scriptures. In Jeremiah 3, 14 and 15, it tells us, "I will bring you to Zion," is what God says. Now, this is a little later on than what we read earlier in Samuel. So this is the time of the dispersion. Let's read it. Jeremiah 3, verses 14 and 15. "Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am a master to you, and I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding." And so, even in the midst of invasions, even in the midst of their country and their land being destroyed and the people being taken off into captivity, God promised back then, "Return, and I will be your master, and I will take you." because that's what a master does. He takes his slaves. And he says, I will take you one from a city and two from a family. And that's in Jeremiah 3:14. And that is how this nation was formed. That is how the people that formed this nation got here. It's because God did that. Even before the pilgrims, but the time of the pilgrims, and all through the 1600s and the 1700s, and even into the 1800s, that is how this nation was formed. Is God brought one from a city and two from a family and came and founded this nation with the largest mass migration of Caucasian, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people and formed this nation. We have a map. It's called the Westward Trek Map. It's about placemat size, so it's a little big. And we have it, and it shows that very thing. It shows the names of the children of Israel. I don't think I brought one back here in the broadcast room with me. But it shows the names, the different names that the children of Israel were known as through the Assyrian captivity, and as they were taken and dispersed among the lands, and then as they traveled, and the names they were known by as we came across the European continent and settled it and had 1,500 years of blessings and growth and culture. And then our start here in this country. Kind of a restart, kind of a rebringing, a regathering of Israel. A regathering of the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. Yea, really the 13 when you figure in Ephraim and Manasseh. And as we mentioned earlier, the Mayflower Compact, which was the first civil government, the first type of banding together where Christians came to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. To further the Christian faith. And we need to remember this today because it has been forgotten. It has been forgotten in the wording of religious freedom. And it has been forgotten in the way, or we should say, freedom from religion. That is how it has been misconstrued today. That, oh, this country was founded on freedom from religion. And that lie could not be further from the truth. It was founded to further the Christian faith. Our forefathers, we call them the founding fathers of the country, they identified themselves as Christians. Clearly they did. You can read their writings. You can read the letters they wrote. Their books they wrote, the publications. And you can see by their fruits that they were Christian. You can apply the fruit test because the things that they did not do for self. They did to further the Christian religion, and to honor God. In 1776, I'm not sure where I found this. I don't think I've got the reference here with me. But in 1776, every European American, with the exception of there were about 2,500 Jews, and see, they were not included in as the European Americans. They were a separate race. But in 1776, all of the European Americans identified themselves as Christian. About 98% of the colonists were Protestants, the remaining almost 2% being Roman Catholic. But even if they weren't associated with a church, even if they weren't the deacon in the local church, they associated themselves as Christians. Got a quote by John Adams from the Federalist Papers. And it says, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And so when you go back and read what the founding fathers of this nation wrote. You can see. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to twist it. You don't have to. You can just see, just like this quote from John Adams, that the Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. Well, it stands to reason that when it is for a moral and religious people, it will be moral and religious. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Well, today, and for the last 50 years, that is the very reason that the Constitution has been under fire, and because it has been misconstrued, it has been misinterpreted, it has been misapplied and twisted for the government of an immoral and irreligious people, meaning an immoral and non-Christian people. Yes, this country was founded. It was put forth in 2 Samuel. It was told about in Jeremiah. It's prophesied all throughout the scripture, this land of unwalled villages. De Cocqueville, boy, you can't hardly find anything about him anymore in your Googling and whatnot, but in the old Encyclopedia Britannicas and old references, you can find it. But our history has been rewritten today. But de Cocqueville was a Frenchman, and he came over during this time of this upstart country, that this country has just all of a sudden come out of nowhere and defeated the British Empire and broke free. That had never been done before. And de Cocqueville came over and visited and traveled to find out why. What was it about America that made America so great? What was it that allowed it to put these ships on the sea and defeat the British Empire and all of a sudden be a free country where all men were considered free and equal in the sight of God? And when de Cocqueville came over, he traveled around and he couldn't figure it out until the Sabbath rolled around. And in his travels on the Sabbath day, he would go and see the people ceasing from work and gathering in meeting houses and in schools and churches that they had built to hear the Word of God and to worship God and His Son, Jesus Christ. He saw that the people of this land were Christians. And that's when he wrote that the secret to America being great was because Americans were good. They were moral. They were not just religious, but Christian. They loved their neighbor as themselves. And that is what made America great in the time of the colonies. And that is what allowed America to defeat the greatest world power of the day. Because Americans were good. America was good. In every state, to be an elected leader in the state, whether it was a school teacher or a city councilman or a county or a government office, you had to proclaim that you were a Christian. Now see that, and for 100 years, nobody had a problem with that interfering with the separation, or the government not dictating a religion. See, there was no problem with separation of church and state then. It was a requirement when this country was founded. They understood in what it says in Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. And this nation was exalted when the people were righteous in their thoughts, in their actions, in their deeds, in their character, in how we dealt with one another, whether someone was looking or not. And the things we did when we were concerned as to whether they honored God or displeased Him. This nation was exalted because this nation was righteous. But the rest of Proverbs 14:34 tells us, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And that is why we, as we fast approach this birthday of our nation, that we are held in disgrace around the country, whereas once we were held up as the beacon on the hill, as the light shining in the darkness, that would come in and drive the darkness away, that would come in and drive the evil away, whether it was in Boston or Botswana, Rhode Island or Rhodesia. But we have strayed. We have strayed. Boy, some more just pointing that of how this country is. When you look at the eagle and the great seal, you see that all of these are symbolic of the symbols and the insignia that have followed the people that have done their very best to answer the call of the Great Commission. See, there's a fruit test. What people, the covenant that God made, the new covenant, and thank God we're under the new covenant in the New Testament, but the new covenant that was made, remember, was made with the same people the old covenant was made with. The flag that this country has, and this, some of this comes from, we carry several books. I wanted to mention a couple of them tonight. And one that I wanted to read a couple paragraphs here out of the Abrahamic Covenant. And it's a study outline of the identity of God's people. I think it's $9. We carry it. It's a real small little pocket booklet. And it will, when you read through it it's by E. Raymond Capp, biblical archaeologist, but it will help open your eyes and help explain just who and where we came from. And it I like what it mentions here. It says, our flag is made up of the colors of scarlet, blue, and white, red, white, and blue, the colors of Israel of old. These colors covered the table of showbread within the tabernacle, red, the color of blood, signifying justice or judgment, reminding us of the shed blood of Christ for the redemption of his people, white signifying purity and holiness, and blue the color of the heavens, signifying God's love and being representative of him. America has yet to recognize, certainly today, her relationship to God and to reinstitute his laws, but that's coming. Through the centuries, Israel usually had to be chastised into repentance. Just as God used the Assyrians to chastise Israel, today he is still building up the enemies of Israel, America, to bring them into, and that is true Israel, not the Israelites over in the sandbox. But God is building up the enemies of Israel, America, to bring us into national repentance. In Ezekiel chapter 38, it writes about the day when the forces of the Antichrist will gather against God's people, saying, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. And that's Ezekiel 38, 11, and 12. And again, just as we read in 2 Samuel and in Jeremiah, the just a couple of short verses prophesying of this nation. Well, any nation that turns from God, you remember Nineveh? They come under judgment. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? They come under judgment. The sin itself cries out from the land. And God hears that. The people of our nation will be driven to their knees. And I think we'll be driven to pray the prayer that the prophet Joel lined out word for word. But first you have to acknowledge that the people have to learn. We have to learn. And that is one of the reasons we continue to do these broadcasts. We continue to do our best to get Pastor Peter's messages, that gospel that he preached for 30 plus years, that truth of who we are and who we aren't, who the children of Israel are and who they aren't. Joel's instructions in Joel 2:17 says, let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. And we pray that now. And give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And, O God, we pray that today. Lord, we know you are here. Lord, we know and thank God you have your remnant, those that you have called out, that you have opened the eyes, that you have unstopped the ears, Lord. For that remnant, for those that do see your truth, they read your word, they apply it, they see it, Lord, they are obedient to it. We thank you for that, Lord. Open the eyes of the rest, Lord. Open the eyes that your people would see and realize what sin is, Lord. They can read in their word. They don't need someone else to tell them about it, Lord. Have your people, Lord, we pray for a yearning, for a rejuvenation, for a revival in the land, Lord, for your word to be read, Lord, in the schools and in the courthouses and on the courthouse steps and in every public place, for your word to be read, not one day a year, Lord, but every day, that your people will be convicted and see that they are your people, Lord, and that they are the people of the covenant. As this nation's birth celebrates his birthday, Lord, let us see that it does not just go back to July 4th, 1776, but Lord, it goes back to the beginning. And it was planned by you. In Jesus' name, amen. I like how this Abrahamic covenant puts it. It says, the day will come when America, true Israel, will give voice to the words spoken by the prophet Hosea. In Hosea 6:1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will yet have the salute of our banners and the allegiance of all the people. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting Father, forever and ever. There's been times in our nation's history and usually it's been times of strife and times of trouble that have driven Americans to prayer. Seems like that's what it has to be. Have a song for you, and then we can open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to call. Got a song here that, and I don't know that I have all of it here, but it is a prayer. It is a prayer that has been sung, well, for 80 years now. How about that? 80 years. And that's what it is. It is a prayer. Hope you like it. We'll be back right after this.
From the mountain.
know about you folks, but that is singing. That is a prayer. It is. It is a prayer for God to bless us. And it needs to be prefaced with, "Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for not praising you every day. Lord, forgive us for taking prayer out of the public school where our tax dollars, where each and every one of us support, Lord, those public schools that have had prayer removed for 50 years. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of that sin. Forgive us of Lord, knowing it wasn't the right thing to do, but Lord, it got done anyway. Forgive us. Lord, forgive us for the abortions that have happened. Father, forgive us for not stopping that. Lord, forgive us for that becoming just a commonplace event in this land. Oh God, forgive us. And let those that, Lord, that have done that be brought to repentance, Lord. Move your Holy Spirit across the land to do that very thing, Lord. To remove the sin, to Lord, to bring repentance upon your people. So that sin can be removed. And so that you can once again bless this land. Lord, help us to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we sing God Bless America. And we have that as a prayer. God bless us. But you know, we are to bless God. We bless God when we are obedient. As we read in Proverbs today, keep my commandments and live. When we do what he tells us to do, it blesses him. It blesses him. Psalms 103 tells us to bless the Lord. Doesn't say God bless us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And that holy name is Jesus Christ. And so just as we pray for his blessings to be upon us and on our land, and we are to pray that, we are to pray for God to bless our leaders. And we've been talking more and more about that, and because many times we find ourselves, well, that city council, them just, you know, them so-and-sos, or that governor, I can't believe he's doing that. How many times have we prayed for them? How many times have we said, God bless our mayor? Lord, bless him and call him. Give him your words. How many times have we done that? And if we haven't, well, then we should. We should. Hey, I see the phone ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I really, if you give away my age, I know Kate Smith's voice when I hear it. And
that's right.
If anyone could sing from their heart, my God, you know, the reception, you know, I get close to the radio, I'm leaning on the bed, and I'll tell you what, I get a tingling sensation listening to that voice.
Well, Gary, it's a prayer. It's a prayer, and I think when Kate Smith sang that, I came out in 1938, it was from the heart. It was like it was like those cookies that grandma used to make made with love. And that's how that song is. It really is.
And I really appreciate that you took the time to play that. It really just cut to the marrow. Yeah. Anyway, Richard, I just want to give a short call here, and I want to wish you and your loveliness a wonderful night here.
All right, Gary, you too. God bless, brother. Thank you. And phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a comment, we've got about 10 minutes left tonight. And it is a prayer. And we are to pray. How many times have we prayed, God bless this land? And again, if we haven't, we should. Shame on us. Shame on us. We read the rest of Psalms 103. Can't read it all tonight, but I've got this highlighted in my word. Verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness." Let's read a little more what the rest of it says. "Not just to anyone, but toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Fear the Lord and live. But when we allow the sin in our land to go on and to be the law of the land instead of his law, well, then we no longer fear him. And he may no longer have compassion on us. Repent, America, and bless God in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, in your deeds, in what you do, in what you don't do. And it starts with each and every one of us. We have volume 4 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter that has been mailed out. We're getting ready. We're working on volume 5 right now. But volume 4 is it's entitled Forgiveness. Has a great article, a good summary. It's just about the entire newsletter on forgiveness. And we encourage you to read it. It is archived at the website, scriptures4america.org. We've mailed it out. We've mailed it out internationally. Hundreds have gone out all over the world. And we can email it to you. If you'd like a copy emailed, our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And if you'd rather have it in the mail, we can do that. We've got some extra copies we can mail to you. On the inside front cover, we are advertising the SFA 4th of July packet. Who doesn't love a birthday, right? A birthday. And a birthday of this nation, over 200 years old. Hey, it's the land we live in today. And having some pride and being proud of this land, of it being, at least on the Christian side of it, that in itself is not a sin. But we are to... It is good for us to have the right attitude and to be able to, just as we are to worship our God in spirit and in truth, we want to know the truth. And we want you to know the truth about July 4th. And so we put together this 4th of July packet. And it includes a CD and a DVD by Pastor Peters entitled, Give Us the Spirit of Our Forefathers. And it's an older message, but it is spiritual. It is packed with, packed with scripture verses that do that very thing. And it's a cry out to give us the spirit of our forefathers, because our forefathers had a spirit of honoring and loving God. It also includes a CD by Pastor Peters, The Spirit of the Lord and the 4th of July. And of course, that kind of ties back with what we read earlier. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Do you remember? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so, do you want liberty? You have to find the Spirit of the Lord. Because they go hand in hand. So says the Word. And nothing changes that. And so we have those two CDs. One of them a CD and a DVD. And then we have a couple of books that we've included in this. And one of them is, we have a little pocket constitution. The Constitution of the United States. And it's good just to read through it and see. And you realize how far we've come from it. We also include the booklet by Pastor Peters, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. And one and that book starts with John 3:16, and it goes through showing who, as we said earlier, the people of the Bible are and who they aren't. And it also has an appendix in the back. And it has a calculation of the 7 times of punishment that we see referenced in Ezekiel, and that... and so that we see in 2 Kings, and so it shows about a nation born in a day at the end of a punishment cycle. And again, it lets us know that God is true and that he keeps his word. Praise God that he does. And so it also includes a book, nice big 8.5 by 11, called The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution. And this is all included in the 4th of July packet. And that book, the Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution, it is writings, it is preaching and sermons that just that from the time of the revolution, from the time when this nation was formed, and the power and the truths and the biblically correct yet politically incorrect sermons that were coming from the pulpits of this land when this land was righteous because it was following God, when this land was exalting God and praising Him. And so we have all of this, the 4th of July packet. I think we ask a $20, $25 donation for it. It's about a $35 value. And so if you want to know more about it, if you want to have it in your library, what the preachers were preaching at the time of the Revolution and the Constitution, and our pastor's two messages, give us the spirit of our forefathers and the spirit of the Lord and the 4th of July. If you'd like those, you can write to us, you can call us, you can email us, and we'll work out a way to get it to you. It's in the inside front cover of our newsletter, printed it in blazing color, so hopefully it catches your eye if you have the newsletter. And again, it's one of the ways that we are trying to get truth out to you. And as I mentioned earlier and read a little bit from this book, The Abrahamic Covenant, when you hear about the and you read about and you believe the Word of God and the Abrahamic Covenant, you see that it didn't end just with Abraham. Of course, it went through David, it went through all the way, of course, to Christ, and then to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, to the great dispersion. And that includes coming across the ocean to this land, this heavenly kingdom, as America is called, heavenly, grand Reich, the heavenly kingdom that He established here with His people. The new Jerusalem. How about that? How about that? Well, folks, we're about out of time. Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I kind of rambled a little bit, but boy, there's so much here to try to squeeze in. The birth, the truths leading up to the birth of this nation. Hope you get to take a day or two off work. Maybe a nice long weekend if you get to. If not, maybe you have time to spend with family and friends on July 4th. Remember the words of Psalms 103. When you have that celebration of this nation's birthday, it's not just about beer and hot dogs, okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. So remember to take time to do that, to bless Him. I think we'll go out with that song again. Why don't we do that? I can get the CD back in there. It's a prayer. God bless America. From sea to shining sea. Good night. And remember, join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers right here. From